Okay, opening a refrigerator on Shabbos. What are the issues? The issue is, when you open a refrigerator on Shabbos, let's assume that the motor is off. Okay, let's assume that at this moment you can hear that the motor is not operating. By opening up the refrigerator, you are allowing hot air, or air that's relatively warm compared to the temperature of the refrigerator, to enter the refrigerator. A good refrigerator is approximately 35, 36 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a, you know, if you put a thermometer in the refrigerator, it should say 30, 35, 36, just above freezing, maybe a little bit more. It's already 40 degrees in the refrigerator, it's no good. That means there's something wrong with your refrigerator. The milk's gonna spoil, it's not good. You have to get the refrigerator, a good refrigerator, it's set to about 35, 36 degrees. And when you open up the refrigerator, there's warm air entering the refrigerator. So obviously the thermometer is gonna go down, the temperature is gonna rise, it's gonna trigger the motor, the compressor, to turn on, to the fan to turn on, and to, you know, the whole process of having the whole process of getting the refrigerator back to a cold temperature. So what's the problem? The problem is electricity on Shabbos is an Isser Dirabbanan. Turning on, operating electricity on Shabbos is an Isser Dirabbanan. Now here's a very big chiddush. There's a famous opinion of the Chazon Ish, who holds that electricity is D'oraisa. He's of the opinion that turning on an electrical appliance, now let's clarify a few things. We're not discussing now turning on light bulbs. A light bulb is a completely different issue because that deals with a principle called Eish, fire, making a fire on Shabbos. Today, there's not much of a problem, but it's not totally ignored, because today we no longer have incandescent light bulbs. Back in the day, when we had incandescent light bulbs, there was a filament within the light bulb that, when electricity is applied, becomes burning hot. To such a degree, it glows. Causing a piece of metal to heat up to the degree where it glows is absolutely ish. That's considered to be, you are creating a fire on Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference if you strike two stones and make a spark and ignite something combustible, or if you light a match, or if you turn on the switch and send electricity in the way of this filament and have it glow due to the intensity of the heat that it is experiencing. That is the malacha d'oraisa of Eish. Now, we do not have that problem mostly today, turning on a light switch, doing malacha d'oraisa, because today we don't have any longer incandescent bulbs. However, there are still some incandescent bulbs out there, okay? You have to be careful. There are still some things that do operate with incandescent bulbs, at least to some degree. And there's also fluorescent bulbs. Now, fluorescent bulbs, Rabbi Belsky is of the opinion that in the fluorescent bulb, although what's giving you light is gas, it's not a piece of metal that's glowing, but there is at the edge of the fluorescent bulb a filament or something which gets burning hot, which ignites the gas to glow, to produce light. And Rabbi Belsky held, I don't know if everyone agreed with him, is that turning on a fluorescent light is absolutely no different than operating, turning on an incandescent bulb. It's true that the illumination is not coming from the glowing of the filament in a fluorescent bulb. The illumination is coming from a gas that is has been ignited, so to speak. Thank you very much. So it's not a filament, but what is igniting that gas? What's igniting that gas is a burning hot little eye object, which is, by you turning on the switch, you are creating an object that is burning hot, which in turn will ignite a gas. So forget about the light, but creating, causing something to become very hot to the degree where it's more than Yatz Ledespo is a real issue of Molocha D'Oraisa, of Eish Havara D'Oraisa. So there are definitely out there today fluorescent bulbs. There's no question about that. Even that mold, but most of the, all of those are very, very quickly being replaced with LED. LED has a very big advantage, by the way, that there's no what's called radiation. There's a lot of radiation. The fluorescent bulbs, you know, are very, very dangerous. People don't realize now how dangerous they really are, fluorescent bulbs, especially the compact. The regular fluorescent bulbs are not as bad. Not as bad, but the compact fluorescent bulbs that we've been using for about probably like 10, 15 years, they were very popular. They produce an enormous amount of radiation, like light, very light radiation, called EM, electromagnetic field, electromagnetic EMF, I think it's called EMF. And you take the special meters that monitor, you'd be shocked. You'll be utterly shocked how much radiation they produce, and the effects of this radiation are really not known. We really don't know if they are dangerous, how dangerous, are they dangerous to little children, are they not, long-term effects, no one knows. But Baruch Hashem, the compact fluorescent bulbs are gone. They're out. They're no longer popular anymore. They've been replaced with LED bulbs, which produce almost no. Baruch Hashem, these things produce almost nothing. They have no electromagnetic field. There's no radiation, very low radiation that come. The best thing you should know is the old-fashioned incandescent bulbs. The incandescent bulbs don't produce any of this EMF.
But the yellow light is not nearly as
bright. Okay, you're talking about caulking. That's an aesthetics. That's a different thing. I'm just talking about just as a side point about there's a lot going on. But now we're dealing with 5G. Mm. 5G. No one knows. This is like the unknown frontier. What exactly 5G is? 10 times more radiation than 4G. Mm. As if we don't have enough radiation in the air from all the cell phones and smartphones. So what does that mean? Who knows? You know, outside the United States, it's an amazing thing. The United States is so behind. I don't know if you realize this. Outside every country besides the United States, including Israel, it is illegal, choyk v'lo yavar, to have Wi-Fi in a kindergarten. If they discover that there is a Wi-Fi router in a kindergarten, they'll shut you down. Because the radiation that comes through Wi-Fi is unknown. No one really knows the effects. And for adults, all right, so we don't care. But children are very delicate. Their bone structure is very, it's not yet, the bone structure is soft. And no one knows. So the machmir, every country besides the United States is machmir not to allow Wi-Fi in the kindergarten, even though at home all the kids are being fried. Okay, everyone in their house has Wi-Fi, right? They're being fried. But at least in the kindergarten, for the pub where you're responsible for someone else, at least there should not be any Wi-Fi. In the United States, you say these words, I'm telling you now, they think you're crazy. But outside the United States, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's a law. It's illegal. It's mamish illegal to have Wi-Fi. Because no one knows. So these fluorescent bulbs were the pits. They really, like these lamps, these compact fluorescent, they were really, really bad. Who knows what they caused? How have I? Nothing. But now LEDs are much better. And the issue with the LED does not appear to be an issue of deraisa. There's no deraisa, isa deraisa, in turning on an LED bulb. That's a very great advantage. Because again, the incandescent bulbs is for sure, according to all opinions, an isa deraisa. Skila, a person turns on a switch, an electric switch, which turns on an incandescent bulb, it's a deraisa. It's a malacha deraisa. Turning on the old-fashioned flashlights, which people still have, those are incandescent bulbs. Mm-hmm. Those little—it's hard to get them also now. Only in the 99 cents, if you're lucky, even there you can find them. The old-fashioned flashlights. It's a deraisa. It comes. It gets the filament gets very hot. It gets very, very hot. That is a deraisa. Fluorescent bulbs, according to Elisha Rybelski, is a deraisa. Although the illumination is not coming from the glowing of a filament, the illumination is coming from a gas that has been ignited and is glowing, but what ignited that gas? A filament, which is burning hot. So it's a deraisa. Now we have today LED. LED appears not to be a deraita. Even though you'll say that some of the LED bulbs, especially the old ones, get very, very hot. They do get very, very hot. But it appears the heat that's getting they're getting hot from is indirect. It's not a natural part of the process. It's not the goal. When you light the LED bulb, the new LEDs do not get hot. The better, the newer models of the LED bulbs, they don't get yatzah ledesko. But the old ones, they do. They get very, very hot. And even those, if I'm not mistaken, is not a melacha d'oraisa, because the heat is indirect. When you turn on that bulb, it's not hot right away. It's not hot. It's some technology which I don't know how this works, which causes these things to glow and produce a lot of light, but there's no heat. There's no heat that's yatzah ledes. There is a little heat, but not much. But over time, it gets very hot. That's indirect. That's not your actions. That's not the technology. And that would not be a melacha d'oraisa. Okay, so there are a lot of advantages now to these type of things. As a side point, I find something very fascinating to talk about. This is a side topic. Is today, if you realize, today there's a very, very big push for electric cars. Mm-hmm. This is not the future. This is now. Mm-hmm. Okay, right now you can buy or lease an electric car, pure, not a hybrid, a pure electric car. The problem with, and they're cheap, they're very cheap, also some of them are very cheap. The problem with the cheap ones is they don't have a very far range. You can't really go more than 150 miles, maybe even less, 125 miles, and you have to recharge it. You have to come home and make sure you go to a charge, you go at home, you recharge it. So the expensive cars, the Tesla, those are like, the Mercedes, the Tesla, they can go 300 miles, 400 miles, but those cost a fortune. Those are for, the extremely rich. To have it. But even Tesla, they promised that within a very short time, they're going to release models that the average person could afford to buy or to lease. And every single major company, every single Toyota and Honda and Hyundai, they all have models of pure electric cars. Some better, some worse. The big technology difficulty is getting it to charge where it can go at least 300 miles on one charge, which is extremely challenging and difficult, but they promised that they've already solved that problem, whatever that means. Why am I telling you this? Because driving a car in the olden days was a melacha d'oraisa. You get into a car and you turn on the engine, you have just mechalel Shabbos d'oraisa. Spark plugs, the engine, you are burning fuel. It's fire. To get the turbines moving in your engine, when you press down on the gas and you give the engine gasoline to burn, that's a melacha d'oraisa to drive a car. No ands, if, or buts. So if a person's wife is giving birth and you want to drive your wife to the hospital, so if it's pikuach nefesh, you can do whatever you want to do. It's not pikuach nefesh, or you can get a non-Jew, this and that, the whole story. So then, you don't be mechalel Shabbos. But today, it's amazing, no one's talking about this, is all of these rules about driving on Shabbos have to be rewritten. Because today, there's a plethora of electric cars out there on the market. A lot, and it's. I think it's going slower than they anticipated to push the electric cars to replace the gasoline cars. It's not so simple. There are a lot of technical issues about this, but an electric car, l'cha'ira, driving an electric car is not a deraisa. There's no fire. There's no fire burning. There's a battery which has energy. And the process is just like opening a refrigerator.
How about a smart car that you're self-driving?
So that's even better, because that even takes away more problems. Once you reduce the Avera from a d'oraisa to a d'rabbanon, so then the dynamics of all the halachic shilas dramatically change. Groma, indirect, and doing it through a guy and doing this, doing that, everything becomes very different. The whole process of coming to a conclusion when you have a question of what to do in different situations takes on a whole new set of rules when the most you can possibly do is violate an Isser Derabbanan. With the lights, today with the lights, it's a very big deal. You know, for example, today wherever you walk today, it's very common. You walk today, they have sensors, and the lights go on when you pass the sensor. So you walk down the street. Many people have, especially non-Jews, you pass the street. So when you walk past their house, then the light goes on. Do you have to avoid not going down that part of the block where there is a sense that the light's going to go on? Even, you know, where how do you deal with it? So until now, when they were incandescent bulbs, then you got a big problem. Because even though, I don't know, it's a dover she'ena mischavim, and I don't care, but you are, in effect, violating an isur de'oraisa by walking down the block. Because you're going to come into contact with your action is going to trigger directly, your movement is directly going to trigger Chil Shabbos on a d'oraisa level. So you'll say, it's a grama. I'm not doing it directly, I'm walking, I'm not having kavana, it's a davar she'enei mischavein, as we're going to talk about in the refrigerator. Okay, there's what to work with, and when there's nowhere else to go, there's no other path, and you want to go to shul, there's no question, nothing is etched in stone, there's no clear psak halach on many of these issues, there are many chiluk ideos, and there are many different svaras, but you're dealing with a deraisa. But today, incandescent bulbs almost don't exist. They don't exist. So the lights that's going to be triggered by you coming in this certain situation is a derabanan. So then when you're walking down the block, I'm not having kavana. I don't care. Keep the lights off as far as I'm concerned. The street lights are enough. I don't need you to turn the lights on when I walk down. And I'm not having kavana anyway. It's a davar she'enei mischavein. It's a derabanan. And it is a... And it's a derabanan at most, and I'm not having kavana, and it's a grama. Three things going for you. You know what? You can walk down the block. You don't have to be concerned. The dynamics change. Cars have always been, from time immemorial, a d'oraisa. Cars today are very rapidly, but there's a very significant number of electric cars today on the market available. In California, they made
that's
a law.
That's why they have, for handicapped people, they have the Tomat electric scooter.
Okay, that's special for people that are. Tomat has a lot of things. They do a lot of advances.
But I mean, they didn't make a gas scooter. It was an electric scooter.
Well, they never had gas scooters. They never had gas scooters. You ever saw a gas scooter? I never saw a gas scooter. You never saw?
Sure, all the scooters were gas.
What?
It doesn't pay.
Maybe 25 years ago. They had gas scooters? It's a sakana to have a gas scooter. The whole thing can blow up. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvarai.
Amen.
Amen.
I never saw a gas scooter. I'm sorry, Mayor. I never saw such a thing. I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know. Maybe I'm mistaken.
You take a lawnmower and you change it into
a scooter. A lawnmower. Yeah, you know how much noise that's going to make? You need a muffler. A guy comes to shul on his scooter. You have to have a muffler. And he's leaking gas and oil. I don't know. Listen, it sounds a little far-fetched to me that they would.
In the Alto Mignon, they have electric blowers, heat blowers. Some of them make so much noise.
I know, it's horrible. I know.
You can only use one because now you can't add the tefillah.
Okay, the electric cars are very quiet. It's a machayim. Electric cars are super duper quiet. In any event, this changes the dynamics of everything when everything is electric. It's in a new world. Technology is changing very rapidly. And a lot of these halachas have to be revised and relooked at with a whole new set of rules. Now let's go back over here to our refrigerator shaila. Opening a refrigerator is not turning on the lights. If you're not discussing the light bulb yet, that we'll get to soon. The question is, you can open a refrigerator door, hot air is going to enter, it's going to trigger the starting up of the motor and the fan. The motor and the fan is the use of electricity on Shabbos, which according to all poskim, pretty much, is an iser dirabanan. Here's a very big chiddush. That is something new I never saw before in the Sefer. A very big chiddush. The Chazon Ish says, no, I hold that turning on an electric motor, an electric fan, is an Isser D'Oraisa. Because the Chazon Ish holds completing an electric circuit is bone. It's one of the lamites melochis, bone construction, or make bepatish. It's the final, the last thing you do in order to, there's a melacha called make bepatish, you bang with the hammer for the very last time. It completes the process of creating a utensil. You've created, you have a fan, it's manufactured in China, Malaysia, it's sent to America. What's the last thing you do? You plug it in and you turn it on and it moves and the fan spins. Make bepatish, the melacha deraisa. So he says something very amazing. I think Shlomo Zalman Arbach says an incredible chiddush. The only time the Chazon Ish says that electricity, the use of electricity, is the melacha deraisa, is where you actually connect your appliance to the electrical source. You turn it on. You turn on the fan. Melacha deraisa. But when the refrigerator is on, it's already plugged in. The electricity is already in the system. It's there. The only question now is the motor going to turn on? The motor not going to turn on? But the electricity, it's a little hard to understand how he's coming to this nuance. It's a very fine point.
With today's equipment, it's very easy to understand because you have electricity on all the time. If you have a electric,
yeah, but the electricity, yeah,
there's always a little electricity. Even I have lights that are controlled by a computer. There's a clock that the computer controls it. There's always a little circuit going through, okay. Minimally that gets bigger.
Okay, I'm not sure, fine, whatever it is. I'm not sure the exact science, but he says in a very, very important chiddush that even according to the Chazon Ish and those that follow his opinion, that turning on an electrical appliance is a din d'or, an iser d'oraisa. Opening up a refrigerator door and allowing the hot air to come in and causing the motor to begin and the fan to turn is, even according to the Chazon Ish, only an Isser D'Rabbanan. Because the refrigerator is plugged in. And the refrigerator has electricity running through it. And there's a control panel, there's an electronical device that is just deciding when the motor should be in operation, when the motor should not be in operation. The refrigerator is functioning. The only question is it going to function more or is it going to function less? That is not called make bepatish according to the Chazon Ish and according to those that follow in his opinion. So if you take a fan that's off, or the refrigerator is off, okay, let's say the refrigerator is off, and you turn on the knob, you have to find the knob. You know where the knob to turn on the refrigerator is? I don't know where the knob is. It's somewhere buried back there in the back of the refrigerator. You find the knob to turn on the refrigerator. Oh! Turn on the refrigerator? According to the Chazon Ish, melacha deraisa. According to everyone else, it's not. Everyone else disagrees with the Chazon Ish. They hold that electricity is at most a nisid rabbanan. No such thing. But the Chazon Ish, nope. He says, turning on the refrigerator is a melacha deraisa. Okay. If I turn on a fan, turn on the air conditioner, I turn on the refrigerator, melacha deraisa. But if the refrigerator is already on, and there are things that are going on in the refrigerator, whatever it is, there's electricity running through the refrigerator. The refrigerator now has a mind of its own and is deciding when the fan should be on, when the fan should not be on, when the this. And now you open the door, and by you opening the door, you're causing the fan to go on. That, even if it would be a direct, even if it would be a direct cause, the second I open the door, it causes the fan to go on. That even lefi the Chazon Ish would not be an Isser D'Oraisa. Because the refrigerator is already plugged in and it's already operating, and it's just a matter of making a decision of what the next step is. Even he would agree that it's not a Melacha D'Oraisa. That's an incredible point. That's a very important thing to understand. So opening the refrigerator door and causing hot air to come in and the motor to go on, it's not a melacha d'oraisa. That would be most melacha d'rabbanan. And now we have three things going to our advantage. Based on the combination of three things. Number one, it's d'rabbanan, at most. Number two, it's a grama. I'm not turning on the fan. I'm not turning on the compressor. I want to get some ice cream. Leave me alone. I couldn't care. I opened the door. It doesn't. I mixed up in a mischavim. When I open the door, will it instantly go on? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If I open the door, it's not going to go on this second. It'll take 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. And Rav Moshe says, even if you open the door, punk your mazel. I opened the door, and the second I opened the door, it went on. Rav Moshe says, you have a right to assume it did not go on because you opened the door. In halacha, you don't need to bring a carbon chatas. Okay? You don't have to consider yourself, oh, look at that, I was mechalel Shabbos midrabban. I opened the door, and the second I opened the door, it went on. Excuse me, the world does not revolve around you. The refrigerator would have gone on even if you didn't open the door. If when you opened the door, it just happened to go on, good for the refrigerator. It's nothing to do with you. Oh, but me opening up the door is going to cause Hadir to come into the refrigerator, it's going to go on. It's not going on now. It's going to go on in 5 minutes, in 3 minutes, in 2 minutes. It's indirect. A grama is only osur midrabanan. It says in the pasuk, l'sase kol melacha. Do not engage in actual melacha. But if you do something and it indirectly causes something else to happen later on, melacha, that is not forbidden on a biblical level. It's forbidden on a rabbinical level, but it's not forbidden on a biblical level. Number three, when I open the door, do I really want the fan to go on? It couldn't kill us. I want the food. I have my own agenda. This is not what I'm concerned about. And it's, therefore, it's called a davar she'enoi mischavin. So in essence, there are three things that come together to permit a person to open a refrigerator even when the fan is in operation. Number one, it's only a midrabanan, even if the fan would go on instantly, because electricity lahalacha is not a deraisa, it's midrabanan. And even the Chazon Ish that says it's deraisa, once if the refrigerator is already in operation, the only question is, should it go more or less? That's only midrabanan. That's not a makiv patish. It's already in operation. You have to understand the lumdus of binyan makiv patish. The refrigerator is functioning. The refrigerator has been plugged into the wall. It's in the on position. You've done the makiv patish. The electricity is operating through the machine. The utensil is operating the way it's supposed to be operating. Now you're causing more electricity to go into the engine and into the motor to make the compressor to go on. No. So that's an Issur d'Rabbanan. You can't go tell me that's a Malacha d'Oraisa. It doesn't fit into any of the Lama Tess Malachas d'Oraisa. So everyone agrees that the worst thing that can happen by you opening up the refrigerator door and the engine going on, the compressor going on, at most, according to even the Chazon Ish, is an Issur d'Rabbanan. Okay.
So according to the Chazon Ish, how should you use and open the refrigerator?
I'll tell you that in a second. That's the irony. I'll tell you that in a second. But let's talk about mainstream Judaism, us. I can't imagine anyone over here doesn't open a refrigerator on Shabbos. Let's talk about us for the moment now. Okay, so we number one, it's the Rabbanan. Number two, it's indirect. That's a second the Rabbanan. Number three, I have no kavana. This is not my intent. A triple whammy. There are three things working here in your favor. It's the Rabbanan, it's a groma, and it's a dover she'enei mischavein. And therefore, lahalacha lemaisa, according to almost everyone that we know, there is no restriction whatsoever to open a refrigerator even when the motor is going. The noise, you hear the noise, even when the motor is not going. Even when the motor is not going. If the motor is going, it's very good, that's much better. It's much better to open the refrigerator when the motor is operating because I'm not doing anything. The motor is going. What am I doing? I'm doing nothing. The motor is full operation. I'm not causing anything to happen. But let's
say people wait till the motor is going.
Right, that's a chumrah. Right, that's a chumrah. So, but if the motor is not in operation and you open the door, so you're going to accelerate when the motor will go on, the compressor will be triggered. It's mutter. Halacha l'maisa, you don't have to be machmir. It's mutter because of the combination of the three things. Electricity is the rabbanon, according to all opinions in this instance. Number two, it's a groma, it's indirect. Number three, you have no kavana to trigger the motor. And the combination of all of these three things together is more than enough to permit the opening of a refrigerator that's, whose engine is not in operation on Shabbos afilu l'chatchila, for most of us. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein himself...
Not only this, that I don't want it to start.
Right, psik reisha deloy michalei. It's a psik reisha deloy. You don't want it. You don't want to be the cause of Chol Shabbos. Deloy michalei. Another notch. Deloy michalei. Now, of course, this is the Ikar Hadin. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein himself, years back, he told people it's mutter. He wrote that it's mutter, and he told people that it's mutter. But he himself, Rav Moshe Feinstein was Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's the Gadol Hadar. He himself had an engineer come to his home and fiddle with the refrigerator. And obviously the refrigerators in his day, going back, if he died in 1986, were primitive compared to what we have today. He had someone come to his home and fiddle around with his refrigerator to put the motor on a timer. A timer. It works for an hour, whatever they did. It works for half an hour, and it goes off for half an hour. It works for half an hour, on a timer, on, off, on, off, on, off. So it doesn't make one bit of a difference when you open up the refrigerator. It doesn't make a difference. Open, that's what he did personally for himself. But he didn't. That's not a requirement. And today, you're going to make people meshuggah. Meshuggah if you're going to go tell people to do this. First of all, our refrigerator says, so we'll get to that in a moment, the today's refrigerators. It's not even possible today, probably, to do this. Maybe Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his day, they had refrigerators that you can fiddle around with. You can do this. Today, you can even do this. Fine. So, halacha l'maaseh it's mutter. Now, there are other issues. Now, here are the other issues. Obviously, the light bulb, right? Obviously, the light bulb. So, that's posh. You gotta take out the light bulb. Now, in the olden days, what kind of light bulb did you have in the refrigerator? An incandescent bulb. And maybe some refrigerators still have, some of them still have the incandescent bulbs.
Little 15 watt.
So if you have an incandescent bulb, that's a problem. Because that's deraisa. Mm-hmm. Because an incandescent bulb, when you open it, that's not a grumma. There's no grumma. This is science. You open up the door, the light goes on. So by opening up the door, you're causing the light to go on. It's instant. And don't go to, that's not my kavana. A davar she'enu mischavin. Excuse me, this is an issa deraisa. It's a deraisa. It's not going to help you. You don't have a groma, so you can't open the door if the light's going to go on. So what do you take out the light bulb? Very simple, right? Most people I know, they don't even have light bulbs the whole week because they're not interested every Shabbos in remembering. I never had a light bulb in there. Only time I ever turn the light bulb in the refrigerator is the week before Pesach when you clean the refrigerator. You want to see what you're doing. That's the only time I ever turn on the light bulb in the refrigerator. Otherwise, whoever turns on the light bulb, the refrigerator. And the old, I still have an old refrigerator. Baruch Hashem. Halavai v'ayit. Shouldn't conk out. But that is, gotta take out the light bulb. Okay, now what about today? Today we have people, you don't have any more the incandescent bulbs. You have the LEDs. So LEDs, okay, it's much better. It's only midrabanon, but it's no grumma. It's not a grumma. It's direct. You open the door, you're causing electricity to flow, to cause the light bulb to go on. That's an Isser Dirabanan. There's no grumma, it's instant. So you got a problem, you can't do it. So what do you do if you have such a situation? You got to call a guy. You don't have any choice. You have to ask a non-Jew to open up the refrigerator for you and take out the bulb. Now here's a very important halacha. You do not have to hint. You are permitted when it comes to a refrigerator that has a bulb inside, you are allowed to ask a non-Jew directly to open up the refrigerator for you. Why? The Isser of Amiru La'akum, it is forbidden to tell a non-Jew to do anything that you cannot do. Whatever you cannot do, you may not, under any condition, tell a non-Jew to do. But there are exceptions. If it's a dovar she'enoi mischavein, or a dovar she'enoi mischavein, you're permitted lechatchila. If you tell the guy, can you open up the refrigerator door? And you know good and well that by opening up the refrigerator door, you directly cause the light to go on. You can't do that. Because you're not, but when the, because for you, a Jew, a dovar she'enoi mischavein is forbidden. But for a goy, for amira la'akum, the prohibition to ask a non-Jew to do for you something which will cause a malacha d'oraisa, even instantly, but it's in the category of dovar she'enoi mischavein. You tell the guy, can you please open up the refrigerator and take out and open up the refrigerator, open up the refrigerator. So when he opens up the refrigerator door, he's not thinking about the light. He couldn't care less about the light. He's just opening the refrigerator door. That's permitted. There is no
proof. Have to close it also, because when you close it.
Okay, so now we come to closing. So now we come to close. Now we come to the next problem, is telling the guy to take the light, to take the light out. Now there are all different ways to do that. Now today it's not relevant anymore, because in the olden days you take out the bulb. That's the best way to do it. So now that's a problem. This is a very big problem. To screw a bulb out of a refrigerator, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, is an iser d'oraisa of soiser. You're removing something that's permanently attached to a utensil. I don't know the details of the lumdus, but Rav Moshe held to remove a bulb is a malacha d'oraisa, to take out a bulb. So to tell a non-Jew to take out a bulb, to remove the bulb, could be problematic. However, Moshe comes to the rescue, and he says, since you need it for Shabbos, your food is going to get spoiled, oinig Shabbos, you are permitted, letzorech, oinig the kovod Shabbos, to tell a non-Jew, if David is here, if David Anafar is here, you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to do a malacha d'oraisa letzorech mitzvah. You're allowed to tell, so therefore, according to Moshe, taking out the bulb will be a malacha d'oraisa. Because the removal of a bulb from a permanent, the bulb is permanently attached to this object. To take it out, in essence, according to Rav Moshe, is a malacha d'oraisa. But being that it's letzorech oichel nef, for Shabbos, kvod Shabbos, Amira la'akum, even on a malacha d'oraisa, is mutar letzorech mitzvah and letzorech kivoid Shabbos. Now, other paiskim are much more lenient than Rav Moshe, and they hold the shayla does not even begin, because they hold that taking out a bulb is not a malacha d'oraisa. It's not a malacha d'oraisa, take out the bulb, and therefore it's also midrabanan, and certainly being that it's letzorech kivoid Shabbos, it's going to be mutar. Now today it's much more complicated, because today you can't take out the bulbs. Mm-hmm. Today in the modern refrigerators there are LED lights, which I don't even know if you know where they are. And if you can find them, you don't want to take them out, because you'll destroy the whole refrigerator. So you can't even take out the LED bulbs today. So the only way to solve the problem is basically to tape down, is to tape down the switch, which is same to midrabanan. So you're permitted to tell the non-Jew, can you please put some good solid scotch tape? You need good tape to make sure it stays down, and being that it's letzorech kavod Shabbos, you can tell him to do so. Now here is a big problem with today's refrigerators. All refrigerators, even from the olden day, from time immemorial, have a defrost system. They all have a mechanism where ice, frost and ice builds up in certain areas of the refrigerator, and there are coils that are in that area, in that section. We have to first, one was welcome back, it's very important. David, show yourself. Mayor, you here, Mayor? Mayor, where's Mayor? Mayor. Look who's here, Mayor. He's wearing a mask. He's wearing a mask, you see? Baruch Rofei Cholim. Rav David had surgery, and Baruch Hashem, Rav David did exceptionally
great
well.
Surgery? What kind of surgery?
Baruch Hashem, it is so good to see you. Welcome. A warm, hearty greeting from the entire shir.
Chaver, I'm getting surgery at 1 o'clock.
Rav David Rama Farshlita. You should have richas yamin gezunt. You should be gezunt richas yamin with a lot of mazel, mazel and bracha, and revach and mazel. Now going back to our refrigerator. Today, all refrigerators have coils. They have coils that are located somewhere, I don't know where, somewhere in the refrigerator, in some section where ice and frost has a tendency to build up. So in the olden days,
usually by the door, right under the door.
It depends on the refrigerator. It depends on the refrigerator.
Ice cubes.
Not for today. Ice cubes is another sugya. Not for today. Not for today. Another sugya. Ice cubes. But right, let's talk about the frost. Opening the refrigerator. Now, in the olden days, it was standard. The frost, these coils are problematic because they become red hot. The temperature that they achieve, it can be a malacha de'oraisa of have a fire. When a piece of metal becomes so hot that you can't touch it. In the world of halacha, this is a malach, this is esh, it's fire. Now in the olden days, this was not an issue because the defrost system on every refrigerator was on a timer. It has nothing to do with opening or closing the door. It was on a timer, 6 hours it's off, and then it goes on for a period of time, for an hour, and then it's off again. It was on a timer. You can open and close the door the whole day. It's not going to make one bit of a difference when these coils decide to get red hot and melt the frost. Whether there's frost or no frost, it doesn't make a difference. These coils get red hot. That's no longer the case with new refrigerators. In order to conserve energy, these coils are programmed with a sophisticated algorithm figuring out, I don't know what the algorithm is, and certainly every company has their own sophisticated system, figuring out when it needs to kick in. Maybe there is some type of a sensor which detects that there's ice building up, or maybe it makes a calculation based upon how many times you open up the refrigerator. But one thing is for certain, in all of the new modern refrigerators, when you open the door, you are triggering an acceleration of when these coils, the defrost system will turn on. You are a participant in the process when you open and close the door, mm-hmm. And being that these coils are malacha deraisa, so these coils are esh in a modern refrigerator, esh, because the coils get burning hot inside. You don't see them, but they get burning hot. And you are contributing to causing these coils to get hot. This is a grama to an isa deraisa. When you open up the door, it's not going to turn on right away, obviously. But you are today. It's no longer on a timer. They have even a term for it. They have a term. It's called the modern term is adapted defrost system. Go look on your when you buy a new refrigerator. You look on the label. All of the features. It's going to say the word adaptive. Adaptive means there's a chip. There's a microchip that's programmed to calculate to make calculations. Based upon you opening up the door, not opening up the door with sensors, you're a partner in the crime. And this crime is not a midrabanan, it's a deraisa. So the dynamics change. You no longer have a combination of three things working in your favor. Opening up the door for the compressor, we said it's a derabanan, and it's a gurama, and it's a davar she'en mischave. But causing the adaptive defrost system to trigger is only two things working for you, the lesser important things. It's a d'oraisa. Oh, but you'll tell me it's a grama and d'arashayna mischavein. There is no clear-cut psak halacha on this matter. There are poiskim that say it's a problem, and there are poiskim that say that it's not a problem. Puk chazi ma'amad devar, go look out in the world what goes on. People don't seem too concerned about this. Most people out there in the world today, they don't have any special Shabbos mode refrigerators, and they open and close the door, even though they have an adaptive defrost system, and which the deraisa, and they're contributing to the process in some way or another. And basically what they are relying upon is two things. Even though it's true that it's a deraisa, but there are still two things going for us. It's a grama, it's indirect, and I have no kavana. It's a davar she'enoi mischavi. Even though you'll say it's a psikresha, maybe yeah, maybe not, but it's a davar she'enoi. So for many people, probably for most of us, that is sufficient. Even though it's a deraisa, the fact that it's a davar she'enoi mischavi, I have no intent, and I'm not directly triggering the defrost system, sufficient. The star K of Moshe Haynem in Shlita and his kashrus organization, they have worked very diligently with many of the manufacturers who make refrigerators to create a Shabbos mode refrigerator. And the primary reason they made the Shabbos mode free refrigerator is for the defrost system. If it only would have been the lights, they wouldn't have bothered to go get involved. So go put a piece of tape on the lights. Go put a piece of tape. You go take some good duct tape. When you buy your refrigerator, stick it there on the bottom and finish. The Shabbos mode is not because, oh, when you turn on the Shabbos mode in the refrigerator, the lights don't go on. And all of the that's not what it's about. That's not what he was concerned about. Because if the only issue, though, there are a lot of us today in all the refrigerators today, there are a lot of sensors. A lot of electrical sensors that go on, open up the door. Good for you. Let the refrigerator do all it wants. It has a mind of its own. It's derabanan, davar she'enoi mischavein. I don't care. There are a lot of leniencies in allowing all of these sensors to operate. As long as there are no indicators, as long as there are no flashing lights and numbers on the screen. So the Shabbos mode, today many companies are making today what's called a Shabbos mode refrigerator. And the main advantage of the Shabbos mode refrigerator is to silence the adaptive defrost system, which is the only de'oraisa of a modern day refrigerator. Everything else in the refrigerator, all of the high-tech gizmos and mishigasim that are going on there, the AI in the refrigerator is a derabanan. I'll tell you a good joke just to lighten you up. You know, there was a guy, I don't know if anyone's going to get the joke, but some of you will get the joke, someone says to his wife, you know, they say, I don't know if I'm getting you right, but they say that that the computer monitors everything, that it's listening to us. It's listening to all of our conversation, and it's watching us. There are all these sensors today. It's not true. Can't possibly be. So the person starts, I don't remember the full joke, but he makes a joke about it. Can't be this, that, so he starts laughing. So he starts laughing, his wife starts laughing, Alexa starts laughing, and Siri starts laughing.
Excuse me.
You get the joke? It's a good, you have to find the beginning of the joke. The beginning. But he's laughing, his wife is laughing, Alexa is laughing, and Siri is laughing. You know what Alexa is? Alexa is Google's artificial intelligence. You could ask a question. Alexa, what's going on today? Siri, you know, you talk to your computer and it answers you. So Alexa is the name of Google's AI, and Siri is the name of Apple's AI. So when the guy says, hey, no one's listening to us, and his wife is laughing, Alexa laughs, and Siri laughs. All right, but your refrigerator is watching you.
Joke never works if you have to explain it.
Correct. But some of you got it. Ramachol, you got it, right? Ramachol, it's a good line. It's a really good line.
Oh, okay.
It's a good line. Okay, but in any event, the refrigerator is watching you. Okay, the refrigerator has a mind of its own. It's watching you. But all that it's doing is only midrabanan. The only real issur deraisa about your refrigerator is the adaptive defrost system.
I think the defrost is only on the freezer side, not on the refrigerator.
So the way a refrigerator works, it is only a freezer. My appliance repairman explained this to me. A refrigerator is only a freezer. The way it works is you shelter the refrigerator section of your refrigerator from the freezer. So it only reaches 35 degrees and doesn't freeze. When you have a refrigerator, every refrigerator has a freezer. Why is there a freezer? Because the refrigerator does one thing only. It produces air that below 32 degrees. It has only one setting to freeze things. You just shelter the refrigerator section from the freezer section. You control the airflow to a degree that there should not be that much air that comes into this section that will cause everything to freeze. Mm-hmm. Most refrigerators operate like this. There's only one cooling unit. Yeah?
I used to change the defrost timer on the freezer myself.
Okay.
So no, it's only on the freezer. You said it before that the refrigerator reaches a temperature of only 36 or 37. It can't ice up. When the defrost...
Right, so the defrost... Yeah, for the defrost on the freezer side. Fine. Okay, fine. It's true. But I don't know the mechanics of this, but it appears from the Star K... and from the people that are really knowledgeable in how these things work in great detail, by you opening the refrigerator today on a modern day refrigerator, which has advertised an adaptive defrost system, your opening of the refrigerator contributes to the algorithm, to the decision of the AI of when the defrost should be triggered.
As far as if you want to be the most efficient, you pack up your freezer so that all the cold is directed to the fridge, not to the freezer. That's what they tell you when there's going to be a wire down. Connor tells you, make sure you load up your freezer, you keep it at its highest, and don't open it.
Right.
So the fridge is the one that you're worried about. What happens is when you open the door to the freezer or when heat comes up from the fridge, if you open the door, you'll notice right along the door ridge, it starts dribbling. When it melts by the door. So they don't want you to have water because they think water makes it bad. So that the froster evaporates the water, so it shouldn't be any water. But the water only happens there when it's not frozen.
Okay, fine. Okay, wherever it is. But this is the problem. So what they do today, they have Shabbos mode refrigerators. The Shabbos mode refrigerator, the way it explains here in this book, is it converts the adaptive defrost system to a classic timer-based defrost system. It basically, we're not going to take into account you're opening the door, closing the door. The defrost system will go on like the olden days on a timer. It will be off for a certain amount of time and then go on for a certain amount of time. Now, once already they're doing that, they're putting the defrost system on a timer, they put everything. They shut off the lights. The Shabbos mode turns off the lights. The Shabbos mode turns off all the sensors. It turns off all the mishigas that are going on in there. They're all shut down for Shabbos. Or they're all put on...
Why do they keep all the lights open? Because
whatever, you keep lights open. They're all different types.
When your door is closed, the lights are there open the whole time.
So this is what's called a Shabbos mode refrigerator. The reason why they invested the effort to create such a refrigerator is not because of the lights. It's primarily because of the Isser De'oraisa element of the defrost system, which is converted now in Shabbos mode to a timer, And once they do that, they negotiate with them to shut everything down. All the fancy gadgets have to be put in a way where it's not going to be a violation of anything, any Issa Darabon either. Now, a lot of this is a big deal. For some reason, a lot of companies, they like doing this. I don't know. You know, it's like a lot of places that won't be kosher. Somehow, when people see that this is kosher, it's a Hechsher, Shabbos, even Goyim, they get excited about this. They think it's a Naila. I don't know. It's worth it for them. Obviously, a lot of these companies, these big companies, it's worth it for them. They're doing it. They wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't worth it for them. They must be making money on this. Maybe they charge more money to the Jewish customer. I don't know. But it's done. Now, here's the problem, though. It's amazing how things work in America. This concept of a Shabbos mode refrigerator became such a mishigas by the manufacturers. They're all doing it. But the problem is, they're not all doing it with Rabbanim. See, the Star K many, many years ago, it was the Star K. They get the credit. Many years ago, they approached, I don't know which company, to ask them, maybe you can help us, maybe you can make for us a Shabbos mode refrigerator.
GE.
And then what happened? And then everyone saw that the firm clientele, they only want the GEs, all the people, they're buying this refrigerator. Oh, let's also make a Shabbos mode refrigerator. So they asked, what is a Shabbos mode refrigerator? Oh, the lights don't go on. Oh, that's what it's about? So they advertise, you have a new company, make believe, Frigidaire. I'm just making up names, not true. Oh, we also have a Shabbos mode. Why do they make a Shabbos mode? Because they lost all the customers. All the front people in Flatbush and Borough Park, they're only ordering GEs. They're not ordering the Frigidaire. So Frigidaire got very insulted. So they asked, why? How come no one's buying our product? Because they want Shabbos. Oh, you want Shabbos? What is Shabbos? The lights. You can't turn on the lights. Okay, so we'll make a Shabbos mode where the lights don't go on. Oh, excuse me, that's not what's important. The lights, we can put a piece of duct tape for the lights. What's important is the defrost system, which is the Malacha Deraisa. That's what's important. But they don't get that. So what happens today is, just because they advertise that a refrigerator has a Shabbos mode, it doesn't mean anything. You have to have a Hechsher. If you want, I'm not telling you have to do this, because I told you before, many people don't even care for this. Many places will say, the defrost system, even though it's a Deraisa, but it's Davar Sheina Mitzchavein, it's a Grama, good enough. Okay, fine. Probably most people don't even pay attention to this. Buy a refrigerator, you don't think about this. But there are a lot of people that do. They want a Shabbos mode. Just because you want a Shabbos mode, you have to know what Shabbos mode is all about. And that demands that you inquire that it's not just a Shabbos mode, but it's a Shabbos mode that basically has a Hechsher. There's a responsible rabbi who knows his stuff that has gone through all of the potential issues that this refrigerator can be in violation of on Shabbos, and has arranged with the company a Shabbos mode to address those issues. So Shabbos mode,
there was a problem. One of the ovens there, one of the companies closed the light, but they left the bell on or whatever. They didn't.
Right. They think just the light.
The programming. What they do is they program the chip.
It's a different, right? So you program it differently. There are a lot of things. You know, everything's a program. I'll give you an example. I saw it as an electric car. The electric car has a very big problem. It can't hold. You can buy a cheap, you know, the real low-end models of the electric car. So actually, they were giving them away recently, below price, because no one wanted them, because they couldn't hold enough miles. So I went online to see, what could you do to extend the life, the battery charge? It's got to be a solution, you know, in America. You got to find the solution. So I saw someone selling a gadget. This is unbelievable what goes on in this world. A gadget that you plug into the car. You know, there are a lot of ports in the car, which basically reprograms the computer of the car that when you accelerate on the gas pedal, it accelerates at a different rate that will not drain the battery. So you'll be able to get out of the charge another 30 miles. So you're reprogramming, that's very dangerous, by the way. You know, you start playing around with the program, you reprogram, you're tapping in. It's like voting. Dominion machines, right? You just plug in a USB. You plug in a USB flash drive into the machine. Oh, you vote for Trump. every vote for Trump is three votes for Biden, right? You just plug in, that's exactly, you just plug in a USB chip and all of a sudden the machine starts behaving very strange. You know, that's what's going to happen with the Shabbos refrigerators. What's going to happen is basically you buy a refrigerator and then you go to your rabbi and you buy from your rabbi a USB drive that he programmed. Then you plug the flash drive into the refrigerator, and for Shabbos, it has a mind of its own. Shabbos, it has, this is the program. Just like the Dominion voting machines, when you know how to program and you put into the port your flash USB drive, oh, it has a whole new set of rules. So too, you plug in into the USB port of your refrigerator, your custom-made Shabbos flash drive, and you know you go to Eichler's. There's the OU version, there's the Aguda version, there's the Eid HaCharedis version, there's the Badas version, and then there's Meir's version, and you plug it in, and each one has their own shita, of what needs to be done for Shabbos. Everyone has their shita of how you need to operate the refrigerator on Shabbos. But we're not at that level yet. But today, refrigerators are impossible. Today, even the cheapest refrigerator today, the lowest end refrigerator, has more sensors than you can begin to imagine. That's how it is. That's the way the world is today. Full of sensors. And you open up the door, you have no idea what's going on when you open up the door. And this is a real problem. This is a real, real major problem. So as long as when you open up in a low-end model refrigerator, you don't see anything happening. I don't see any lights going on. I don't see any flashing numbers telling me today's date, the weather, the news. It's not connected to the internet. Okay? When you open up the refrigerator, there's no voting panel. You know, you don't have an option to vote. You open up the refrigerator, you don't see any flashy things going on, the lights. So then you can be Mako. You can be Mako. There's ground to be Mako. But if you buy a refrigerator that's a little more expensive, it's almost impossible for it not to have some indicators, some lights, some indicators that, and you, when you're doing things that are making direct changes, and that's a very big problem. And the only thing that really can be an issue deraisa, as far as we know now, is the defrost, the adaptive defrost system, and the solution is to have a Shabbos mode refrigerator, which doesn't seem to be so hard to get. It seems it's pretty popular from what I understand. And the only thing is that when you do get your Shabbos mode refrigerator, not all Shabbos mode refrigerators are the same. Some of them have been reviewed by Rabbanim. There's been a conversation. And sometimes the company just does whatever it wants. It has its own perverted understanding of what Shabbos is, and just is just trying to trick the customer, whatever it is, to know to get a competitive advantage. Okay, now that is the issue with the Shabbos opening up a refrigerator. Now, just to finish off, opening up an oven is much more complex. Why is opening an oven more complex? No, before I go to the oven, I want to go to one more very important you said about a refrigerator. What about closing the refrigerator? No one talks about this. This, in this incredible safe, he talks about closing the refrigerator. Think about this. If you open the refrigerator, let's say you're very machmir. You want to be machmir from the very holy people, holy person. You're only going to open the refrigerator when the motor is on. Okay, the motor is on. Okay, very good. Open the refrigerator. Now, how could you close the refrigerator? If I keep the door open the way it is right now, the motor is on, right? I waited for the motor to go on. Oh, the motor is on. I open the refrigerator. I'm not doing anything. The motor is going. I didn't trigger anything. But if I now close the refrigerator, I'm going to trap the cold air in the refrigerator, and it's going to cause the motor to go off sooner than it would have had I kept the door open. If I keep the door of the refrigerator open, the motor's not going off. It's going to go on the whole Shabbos. Your food will be spoiled also, but the motor, again, I'm a very machmir. You know, I wait for the motor to go on. Oh, the motor is going. I open up the refrigerator door. Now, if I leave the refrigerator door open the way it is, what's going to happen? The motor's going to go forever because the hot air is going in. The temperature will never be reached, so it's going to go on the whole Shabbos. By me closing the refrigerator door, I am accelerating rapidly the moment when the motor is going to stop. So that's also a shaila. I'm also doing a malacha. Turning off electricity is also issa d'rabbanan. You're also not allowed to turn off electricity, turn off an electrical appliance. You're not allowed to do that. That's also an issa d'rabbanan. So how are you allowed to close the door of the refrigerator? How are you allowed to do this? So bishlema, if the motor is, so see, people who open up the refrigerator door when the refrigerator is off, the motor is not going, I have an advantage. Because if when you open up the door, who says the motor is going to go on? And if you take out the food very quickly, you'll close the refrigerator door. You're not causing the motor. You're closing the door. It's not causing the motor to go on, to go off, because it already is off. See, you can look at opening up the refrigerator door when it's off as an advantage, not as a disadvantage. See, people feel guilty. Oh, I'm not from the ultra orthodox. You know, ultra orthodox, they will not open a refrigerator if the motor is not on. Because if the motor is not going to be on, by opening up the door, I'm going to cause the motor to go on. Really? So quickly? Try it. Open up the refrigerator when the motor is off. Open it up, take out the food, and close the door. You'll be very, very surprised that guess what? The motor didn't go on the entire time that you opened up the door, so you didn't do anything. And adarabba, when you closed the door, you certainly didn't do anything. But if you would have waited to open up the refrigerator until the motor is on, then you can't close the door. Because by closing the door, you are certainly going to cause the motor to turn off sooner rather than later. So, adarabba, you're more machmir to open the refrigerator door when the motor is not going on. Now that's a svara, but many don't hold of this svara. Why? Because they hold that. This is it's a very, very fine point. It's a very delicate difference to understand between the two. And that is, closing the refrigerator door when the motor is going is mutu l'chatchila. Why? What's the difference? When you're trapping, by closing the refrigerator door, what are you doing? You are just trapping the cold air in the refrigerator inside. You're not bringing change. Right now, the motor is going. When I close the door, the cold air is inside, it remains inside. I don't have the right words. The degree of grama is much, much greater when you close a door than when you open a door. When you open a door, you are bringing into the refrigerator hot air. You're doing something new. You're doing something that's not natural for the refrigerator. You're bringing in hot air. Oh, you bring in hot air, that triggers a violent reaction. The motor has to go on. When you close the refrigerator door, you are preserving its natural state. There's cold air in the refrigerator. The refrigerator is doing its thing. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. There's cold air. When I close the door, I'm just preserving its natural state. Oh, the engine's going to go off? So good for the refrigerator. I'm not turning off the engine. I'm not causing the engine to go off. The refrigerator has cold air inside. That cold air inside, it's meant to be inside. So the problem is that it's leaving. We have to understand the principle. Opening a refrigerator door in halacha is viewed as you are changing what is natural. You are introducing an enemy into a hostile environment. You're introducing foreign matter. it doesn't like, the refrigerator doesn't like this. That's going to cause a reaction. When you close the refrigerator door, you are preserving the peace. Oh, but indirectly now the engine is going to go off sooner. Okay, that's called like a grumma. But it's not even a grumma. It's a different level of grumma. There are different levels of grumma. That type of grumma is mutter for according to everyone. That you need not be concerned about. Okay, to finish up, this is the last thing about an oven. An oven is much, much more complicated for one very simple reason. Because an oven is fire. And fire is de'oraisa. When you open up an oven, that is the flame, when it's not on, by opening up the oven and you're introducing cold air into the oven, what does that trigger? That triggers the thermostat to turn on the fire. That's de'oraisa. That's not so simple. That is not a simple matter at all. So, is it osur? You can't say it's osur. You can't say it's osur. Because there are poskim that will tell you, everything over here, you know, it's very delicate. What's osur, what's mutter? There are many poskim that will tell you that when you introduce, it's still a davar she'ein mischaven, it's not my intent, and it's a grama. So you do have those two factors working on your behalf. But on the other hand, it's a deraisa. It's like the coils. It's very similar to the adaptive defrost system. Here it's more direct. See, the adaptive defrost system is a much more indirect process. I think part of the leniency why most of us are not concerned about the adaptive defrost system is because it hardly ever goes on anyway. The adaptive defrost system. It goes on every couple of hours. It goes on once in the oival. It doesn't go on. It's not on and off, on and off. The motor goes on, off, on, off, on, off the whole day. But the adaptive defrost system, I don't know. Every refrigerator is different. The different technologies, different criteria. But it could take hours. So why are you going to tell me that I open up the door? At me opening the door is going to cause the adaptive coils to go on in 5 hours from now? Come on. This is way too much of a grumma. This is not even a grumma. But when it comes to opening up an oven door, hey, this is not going to take 5 hours. You are introducing some very cold air into this environment that it doesn't like. It wants to be nice and hot. The kivshon ha'esh. It wants the heat. It's going to turn on very soon. This is a real grumma. So even though you're going to be very lenient when it comes to your refrigerator that has an adaptive defrost system, you're not going to be so generous to be so makel to open up an oven when the fire is off, because you're going to cause very quickly the fire to go on. And that's a deraisa. And even though it's a grama, it's davar she'ein mischaven, not everyone is so happy to be in violation of a deraisa, even with a grama and a davar she'ein mischaven. What should you do? You should wait until the fire is on. You open up that window, you have to slide that metal thing, make sure you know you can see when the fire is on. And if the fire is on, so then no harm done. Then you can open up the oven door when the fire is on. That is a solution. Is it an ideal solution? Not everyone is so happy with this. Because once you're going to start doing it when the fire is on, you'll end up doing it when the fire is not on. And then closing? Well, closing is the same. Closing is mutter. It's the same thing. A lot of closing is the same thing. There's no difference, mutter. But so an oven is a little bit more complex. There are many people that are machle. They don't want to open up leave an oven on Shabbos. They don't like it. A lot of poskim get very nervous with this. You can't say it's osur. You can't say it's osur, even if you open up the oven door when the oven is off. When the fire is off, you can't say it's osur. It's a davish, it's a groma, and davish and a mischavin, even though it's a deraisa. But obviously, many people will not do it. They'll wait until the fire is on. The fire is on. Yeah, you know when the fire is on, you can see. You can look. You can peek in. You're gonna peek. How are you gonna peek in? You have a glass oven door. Well, some of them do. But can you really be certain that the fire is on? You can hear the gas running. Okay, there are techniques. But sometimes when you start playing around, one thing leads to another, it becomes a slippery slope, and it's not very good. So you're not going to find anyone that can tell you that it's osur. You're not going to find that. But you're not going to find Rabbanim and the Sfarim and these books that write about these things telling you, oh, do it. Go right ahead and do it. They're all going to tell you, they're not going to talk about it. Or they're going to, they need, in the private consultation, they'll tell you, Rabbanim, it's mutter. But don't, it should not be the ideal thing you do every Shabbos. Once in a while, you're stuck, you can do it. But to make this the situation, the mahalach of every Shabbos, how you're going to prepare food and leave the oven on and open up the oven when the oven is going, is not a good idea. But technically, there are grounds to be makel, certainly when the fire, if you only open up the oven when the fire is on. Now, of course, it goes without saying that all of the other issues are solved. The light's not going to go on. Okay, you have to deal with all of the other challenges in halacha with the fire going on, lights going on, indicators and things lighting up on a panel, an electronic panel. Okay, that's a separate thing. That has to be dealt with. They do make Shabbos mode ovens. That's a very popular thing. But the Shabbos mode ovens are not really made for Shabbos. It's really a misnomer. It's really a Yom Tov mode. The purpose of the model of the ovens that they advertise as Shabbos mode is a big mistake. It should be called a Yom Tov mode. It should be called a Yom Tov mode oven. Where, what do? They basically override the system. I mean, the Yom Tov mode, you know what the Yom Tov mode is made for? Because every oven today turns off after a certain number of hours, the safety feature. So in Yom Tov, you want it to go on, the whole Yom Tov, so you can cook the whole Yom Tov.
Definitely a Shabbos mode. I use it every single Friday, because what I do is I put in my food Erev Shabbos, and I set it on Shabbos mode to close.
Timers.
An hour and a half. So when I come home from shul and it closes, then I can take out the hot food. I can open and close it.
Timer. Basically, you make it into a timer.
The timer also controls the lights and the panel.
Right, that's the advantage. So you need the Shabbos in order to basically turn off the lights. But what is a Shabbos? What is the primary function? Why do they invent a Shabbos mode oven? They invented it for one reason: to override the safety feature. That's what it's all about.
24 hours.
That's a safety feature. That's what they're. Because since Yom is 2 days in Chutz Liaretz, and every modern oven today has a safety feature that is shut off after a certain amount of time, so Chashom shouldn't be a fire. So the we did ourselves a very big favor. To override.
24 hours doesn't help you if the light still goes on every time
So you take out the lights.
They invented a 24 hour bypass for Goyim and for Thanksgiving.
For Goyim? The Goyim don't need a 24-hour bypass. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you want to do baking and you're doing serious baking,
so you turn
you
it on again.
Open and you're in and out.
So you're not in and out. All right, I hear what you're saying. But
the light you can bypass.
The light you can turn off.
24 hours you can bypass. That has nothing to do with the Shabbos.
In the olden day, when
there's a separate switch on that.
When they first made a Shabbos mode oven, the ovens were not so sophisticated. They didn't have computers running the ovens. It was just a matter of a safety feature of to override an automatic shut-off safety feature. That's what it's all about, period. Now, the light, big deal. So go into the oven, unscrew that glass, unscrew the light. You take a screwdriver and you can take out, there's a thing for the light. You can go, you can unscrew, you can take out the light. They didn't need to make a Shabbos oven to turn off the light. That you can figure out yourself how to get that light off. Today, in a much more complicated world, an oven does a lot more than just cook. An oven will tell you the weather. It will tell you who to vote for. It will tell you the Daf Yomi. The oven has a mind to itself. It does all these crazy things. Oh, so now the Shabbos mode, not only does it override the Shabbos safety feature, it also turns off the lights, turns off the sensors.
It tells you the parsha.
And also it gives you a timer. It does all good design for you. That's what became today the Shabbos mode. But that was not the primary reason. But the Shabbos mode is a problem because of the rice. All right. Rabbi, have a wonderful day. Hopefully you got something out of the share. I certainly did. And
enjoy. Welcome officially, David, is Mr. Hafner. Alexander is back.
It's good to see everyone. Dr. Wilner is back.
Hashem, we had a very nice crowd today.
Dr. Wilner is here. Okay, Baruch Hashem. And boys, have a wonderful day. Everyone be well.
After all that be said, it's impressive today to open the refrigerator when
it's
on.
When
the
water
is on.
About the big day, the Rav Rashi.
Yeah.
The Vagas family was very upset. They told the next guy, you have no right to copy his outfit. that there was a big machlokes going on.
When? Which Rav Arash? What are you talking about?
Amar, I think, came after the Rav Avadya Yosef, right? And he wanted to wear the same outfit.
Wait,
that's
who
can
know?
With the same design.
The same exact design?
Yeah,
a different
they
design.
They yelled at him and they made a whole to-do with him. They said, no, this is
a different design.
Copyright sort of a...
Copyright, right. A different design. So he did get a different design. He does have a different design.
The reason he got was because...
they made him acha.
They made him trouble.
They made him acha. And the son of David, the son now, the son, he has a different design.
I don't know, but...
He had Corona. How is he doing, by the way?
He's a big girdle retiree because he went to Dubai.
How is he feeling? Yeah, he had Corona. He had a very bad case of Corona.
I don't know. He's in Dubai now. He was in Dubai.
Now they'll go to Morocco. Now it'll be next place
right.
to go.
But they're not Moroccans. The Moroccans don't get along around with the Yosef family because the Yosef family paskins like the Minig Chalab. And Minig Morocco was different.
All right.
Rav Avadya said that all Eretz Yisrael is Sephardi, and all is according to Lehi Paskins, but he Paskins Nusach Damascus. He came from Syria originally. But the Moroccan Jews didn't agree with him. So that's in the background.
All right, very good. Dov, you want some coffee?
Me?
You want coffee?
No, thank you. Excuse me, Rabbi. There is something.
I got a copy of Klein's book, both of his books.
Which book? Which books?
The one on God and the one on Lashon.
Very good. They're good books. They're both.
So if you want to look at it.
I have them. I have them both. I have them both.
You have them both? All right.
Fantastic books. Fantastic. Okay, Rabbi Sai, have a wonderful day. Be well, everyone. Zay gesund. Zay gesund.
Refuah shleima to Rabbi David.
Finish? Wait. Off? It is off?
Okay, it's off. It's off. How are you? No, I don't need this. I don't need this.
Is it good?
I don't need it. I don't need it.
It's fruit.
I know, but I don't need this. I don't need peaches. I don't need it. I don't need it. I know you take.
Yes,
I don't need it though. I don't take it. I don't need it. I don't need it.